Homosexual 5000. And tonight's we've got a very interesting episode. We have the studio full of a mixture of people of various sexual orientations, straight, gay, and in between. And what we're going to be talking about is how straights and gays get along. We've heard so much in the news media lately about the problems that gay people have assimilating into the society and the question of assimilation itself, whether, you know, are there not indeed two separate subcultures in this country if who appear sometimes not to be getting along as well as they could. And tonight we're going to address the very dual of that issue, straight men and gay men getting along in harmony as perhaps a model for a utopian future, which we hope one day to visit. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce my guests. In fact, I'll let them introduce themselves according to this model that Jeff has just suggested.
My name's Jeff, and I am one heck of a big fag.
Oh, God.
Amin. Hi, I'm Amin, and I'm one of the straight dudes here.
Hopelessly.
Excellent. I'm Luke, one of the co-hosts of the show, and I'm mostly straight.
I'm Jamie, and as far as I know, I'm pretty straight.
Excellent, excellent. And as you know, I'm the host. I'm beyond any simple definition of sexuality. But just to get started, I would like to remind our listeners, please do call in with your questions, your comments, your concerns. The numbers are 621-WRCT. That's 621-9728. So one thing that I thought was interesting that we had in the pre-interview was I think Amin pointed out there's a very interesting difference between Jeff and I, who are otherwise very similar in our sexual orientation. I believe Amin pointed out that you instantly knew Jeff was gay, like even before you met him, really. It was just like painfully obvious. I radiate a kind of...
Really? I never forget. I was standing waiting for the elevator, the fifth floor of our building, and then...
Was it when I pinched your butt?
No.
I never did that, actually.
That was in the elevator. We'll talk about that later. No, and I walk up, and then he had some silly ass knee brace on from biking.
And no, then, this is a knee pad?
No.
It's just a stinking brace because I needed it, you know. Because
he's going on and on about his knee brace and everything.
Wait. Just a
total
second.
Red flag.
Yeah, that right. Knee brace just gave it away. Sirens going off.
So I'm trying to understand. You don't know. You're at some build, like an apartment building, office building, like what?
A
what
school is building. School? Yeah.
And you don't know him at all.
I have no idea.
And
who
suddenly,
he is.
This guy's like talking to you for no reason, right? I mean,
right. And then
that's gotta be like a big disturbance.
And then I was just chuckling because
I guess
he was talking to some lady, and then I was chuckling, kind of just I overheard, and then he turns around to me out of nowhere and goes, "When you get to be my age, you need all these little aids you can use."
Interesting.
AIDS.
Cheap.
And then I don't know, just the way he's. And then we got in the elevator, and we got in the elevator, and then he started just talking to me. So I haven't seen you around here. Are you new?
Blah, oh my blah, god. Blah, blah, blah. Oh my
but
god.
The thing is that no. What did it? No.
So
no.
You didn't think he was gay at that
mannerism,
point?
And it was just that sparkle in his eye, you know.
The gleam. Wow. So this is fascinating because I always wonder, you know, I want to be like friendly to attractive men, but I don't necessarily want to upset them. So, like, what were you thinking? Were you like, oh, God, yet another man is hitting on me? Or were you like, this dude is really cool. I can't wait to, like, down, you know, a sudsy brew with him at some point.
I was thinking, all right, down, boy. What are you doing coming on that strong?
Really?
No,
so
I mean,
you, like,
no,
you knew.
You can tell. Mm-hmm. You can tell from some. Some.
But you're not supposed to be able to. You're straight. You're not supposed to have
gaydar. I'm a more typical straight guy, and then I'm pretty oblivious. The first time I met Jeff, I had been a part-time student in the program for a while, and I was at this international dinner with my girlfriend, and Jeff comes up and starts talking to me, and afterwards I thought, oh wow, that's really cool. You know, there's a lot of friendly people in this program. That's really neat. I didn't think anything of it. I just thought he was a friendly guy in the program. And then, you know, this girlfriend at the time, she'd always been talking. There's like two or three people that had come out to her, and I always thought, oh, that'd be really cool if someone came out to me. And then, you know, maybe a few weeks later, Jeff and I are in the lab, and we're talking about, I don't know, we're probably talking about C, and he slips gay into the conversation. And I was like, wow, the first time gay guy has come out to me. That's really cool. But then, you know, it didn't take long after that that I got to know Jeff, and I thought, oh, geez, he comes out to someone at the bus stop.
So you weren't so special after all.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I got it. I mean,
no, it's just mannerism.
I understand. I'm from the South, from Texas. People walk up to strangers all the time and start talking about anything.
Well, that's true. Wait. Luke is from Texas, so
yeah.
So
he knows
true
what I'm talking
about. True. Really?
Yeah.
But there's a difference.
I admit, I mean, what I try to do is project an image that is straight so that the straight guys don't get it, and gay enough so the gay guys do. And, you know.
Now, is that working? I mean,
well, apparently not.
I'm not sure you're straddling that
you're
line.
You're certainly not on fire.
No, you're not on fire. Just be yourself. I don't know. You can't put mannerism in black and white. Everything to me is a grayscale, and mannerism falls on a grayscale. They're heterosexual men that act sort of feminine.
Yeah, I had a friend in high school that was, I mean, he flamed all over the place, but I just had my 10-year reunion, and he's still straight as far as I can tell.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew some guys who I found that they're gay, and for the life of me, I would not have been able to, you know. Well, hell, doesn't mean that just because you're gay, automatically you start, you know, twirling batons and wanting to prance around in
to feta, yeah. What's that? Or pink chiffon or whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
He wore a little gingham dress, skinny, bony, hairy legs. Boy, he looked terrible. But, yeah.
Really?
He wore a little gingham dress, skinny, bony, hairy legs. Boy, he looked terrible.
But, this is a straight man.
Oh, very.
You have gay guys that like to join the army and shoot guns. That's pretty macho, if you ask me.
Until you get to the lobby room.
They're just trying to
get... Yes, Corey?
Oh, read that. So I'm actually concerned. I'm actually interested in something you said. Why did you want someone to come out to you? Like, why was this a longtime fantasy of yours?
I wouldn't exactly call it a fantasy, but
a desire for emotional intimacy. Or
I guess I like the idea of someone feeling comfortable enough with me that they could say that to me. Mm. And this girl I was going out with at the time, she very much projected this aura of making people feel very comfortable. But I don't know. I guess it's not as easy for a guy. I just thought it was cool that someone would trust me enough that they could say that to me and not worry about me punching them in the face or anything stupid like that.
So you guys, are your friends like that? Are your other straight friends like, oh, you know, if some fag comes out to me, I'm going to, like, punch him?
There's different kinds.
Most of my friends are in that category of, well, I don't care what they do behind closed doors, but they would be distressed if they were somewhere and a gay guy hit on them. Where for me, I mean, it's happened before, and it's like...
For me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, cool, maybe like, I can get a free drink out of this.
Yeah. I mean, so what about a free blowjob?
I'm flattered, but I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And if they persisted, then...
That was a topic conversation, actually. You know, heterosexual guys, like straight guys, like talk big, like, yeah, if a fag hits on me, I'm going to punch him out, this and that. Mm-hmm. You know, my reaction is, well, hell, it's one thing, it's one thing chicks dig me, but even if my own sex digs me, that must be one hell of a sexual tyrannosaurus.
We talked about this at the last show, about straight guys flirting with gay guys. Why do they do it? You know, it's got to be an ego thing. I mean, I can see it. I flirt with women for much the same reason. Actually, not really. But.
So do either of you, you know, find yourself flirting with men just to I mean, I think it's flattering.
Maybe it could be taken as flirting, but, you know, it's just like dudes going, you know, oh, she said hi to me, she must want me, you know.
He didn't punch me, he really likes me.
He said hi to me, he must want me.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, you know.
So you sport this kind of earring thing. I mean, isn't that kind of gay attire? Or
actually, at one time I had about six earrings, including two in my right ear. And that was more because I ran out of space in my left ear. But yeah, I would have people say to me, oh, right ear, does that mean you're gay? And I'm like, well, no, it doesn't mean I'm gay, but so what if it did?
I've never been quite clear on these earring signals. Which ear means which?
Well, I mean, that it just changes so much. Having an earring at all was pretty alarming, right?
Ages ago, it used to be a signal. If it was on the... In the late 70s, I think. If it was on the right ear, it meant you're gay. If it was on the left, it meant you were straight, if you wore an earring at all. And like all such signals, it quickly lost its meaning.
I still think that, like, nowadays, if you only wear an earring in the right ear, people would probably make a strong assumption. But it is, I think it's fairly common for straight people to wear earrings in both ears now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, with you, what it meant was that you could get WRCT without a radio.
That's right. So, oh God, what was I going to ask? Oh, someone talk while I think of my question.
I'm wearing a rainbow colored earring in my left ear. What does that symbolize?
God, it's complete confusion of the messages, right? Oh. I mean, so is there like a straight hanky code like there was in the sort of 70s? You know, like brown hanky in your right pocket means
that
scat.
That disintegrated.
Or maybe when you fart in public and smile about it. That's pretty true.
By the way, it's time for me to remind our listeners about the phone number again. 621-9728. That's 621-WRCT.
You know what I want to say.
It's among the BDSM community, the weekly, that when I see someone carrying a small flogger or a pair of handcuffs on their the belt, I'll look at which side they're carrying it on and draw conclusions or make guesses without being certain that that's what they mean.
Yeah, but that's like assuming everybody who carries a pager is a crack dealer.
<They're not>. You
know, he's talking about handcuffs. I don't know if I pay attention to which side the handcuffs are on.
I'd be concerned if I could carry handcuffs in public.
Handcuffs.
No, but on a serious note, I think that one thing about it, it's been my experience that a lot of straight men or people who are homophobe, male or female, who are homophobe, is really because they've never explored their sexuality, so they're not really in tune with their own sexuality, and they may have some homosexual tendencies that they're burying. So their reaction, in order to never deal with those emotions, is to just deal with it in anger, with anger and fear, because to me, human sexuality is not a black and white thing. It's like most things in life. It's a scale. That's why we have bisexuals. And not everybody. It's a gray scale. Not everybody's purely straight. Not everybody's purely gay. And I've actually asked my gay friends, like, when you tell me you're gay, you know, what is gay? If you're never attracted to women. And I've had more than one say, actually a good friend of mine say, hey, you put me in a room with 30 women, I'm going to find two of them pretty attractive and actually attracted too, you know. And so it all depends on where you fall. And I think the reason why there's all this homophobia going on is because that there are people who fall more towards the middle of the gray area of and they really don't want to deal with those emotions. And the way they deal with it is with anger.
Well, let me respond to what you say. I am personally somewhat skeptical of the homophobes as latent homosexuals idea, but I think there's a lot to what you say about some homophobes being the people who haven't really dealt with their own sexuality at all, for whom the homosexuals represent sex, and for them there's something scary about sex itself.
Sex in general.
Yes.
You've got a point.
I got bored with the, you know, with the regular, I don't know, heterosexual partying.
Oh, okay.
No.
You need some
help. So one of my friends that I had known for a while, you know, to me, I always got these vibes that he's gay, but, you know, he never came out and said it.
Is this the guy from your fraternity?
No, that's a different story. One day I turned around on the phone and I said, dude, I don't know, are you gay? And there was dead silence on the phone.
Oh my.
I said, listen, I'm going to tell you, before you answer me, I'm going to tell you two things. One, the answer has been assumed yes in my head for almost as long as that I've known you. Okay? Two, if you in fact are gay, it is absolutely no big deal to me. It's not going to change my relationship with you as a friend. Okay, because if you are gay and you do say I'm gay and I find that you're gay, you've been a good friend to me for this long. There's no reason for me to end this friendship because you say, oh, I'm gay. Okay. And then, so then, you know, I said, yes. And then, you know, so you I started saying, I was like, okay, no. So, yeah, I know. It's like, coming over, boy. You know, I said, cool, let's go to some of your bars. Heard so much about these gay bars, you know.
Oh my God.
And I went to them, and I hung out with, you know, his friends and whatever, and went to gay bars, and, you know, yeah, guys would hit on me, this and that, and then he knew, and he would say, oh, he's with me, and blah, blah, and then, you know, whatever. They didn't pull me in a corner and rape me or anything. Well, I would say I'm flattered, but I'm not interested in it, and they would back off, and I had a great time. So I actually explored that aspect of life, so to speak, and I knew, you know, I was in a bar full of guys, and I had a half a case of beer in me. Talk about potential, you know? nothing happened.
And nothing happened.
So I know I'm straight.
Switch colognes, I think. Well, that's such a beautiful story. I mean, every gay man should have friends like you. I mean, that is so understanding.
Well, guys like these are not uncommon. They can be found in great liberal bastions like the universities and so on. You know, I remember I was wearing my triangle pin around the school, and that was a big step for me. And I was really disappointed that I got no reaction.
In college or?
Yeah, right even? Here at Pitt. Oh. Yeah, well, next door at Pitt. It's something else I wanted to mention was that I think gay men like to keep up a fiction that nobody can spot them. I'm talking about myself, you know, that the straight guys are clueless. Because then that gives you control, you know? It's like, I only come out to the people that I tell, that sort of thing. And but it's
Jamie
scary.
Said, some people.
It's scary when somebody spots
bus
you.
Stop. Hi, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. When is the bus coming?
Well, you know, on the other hand, when I'm like week after, you know, if I spend the whole week, you know, swimming in the sea of straightness. At some point, I feel like I need to assert my identity, and I'm, of course, I'm a computer nerd, so I don't never get dates. So, I might not bring it up in conversation, but someone will say something, like, you know. Well, someone will ask me because I'm older. Are you married? I don't know what the context was for our conversation, Jamie, but. I'll say something. I'll find myself saying something.
My boyfriend doesn't like to commit.
So you find yourself strategically saying something you would not otherwise say just to, like, transmit this kind of gay message, like, you know, no, I'm not married, but if I were, it would be to a man and we'd be having gay homosexual sex or something like that.
Well, I think it's a symptom of when I'm not being with enough gay men or I'm not going out and reminding myself of, you know, in a context that reminds me of who I am, I kind of need to do that with myself.
You know, it's funny. You get all types. Like, I met the type that like to shock you. You know, they don't believe that. They want to believe that you're gay. You know, and then either that or they kind of like, no, this person can't be this comfortable around us. So they try to shock you, you know. Mm-hmm. And then a perfect example is this one guy in the conversation, he said, I'll clean it up for radio, but he said that I love to deep throat a 9-inch penis. And I turned around and I said, well, hell, too bad I don't have a 9-inch penis. If I did, I'd like to see that.
Thanks for cleaning that up.
You know, it all depends
and
on how you react.
I was going to talk about throating turkey legs, you know.
Oh, God. Leaving all, So is that true? I mean, is that actually true? Actually, when you told the story the first time, I was a little bit surprised about it. If you actually had a 9-inch penis,
no.
Is your penis bigger than 9 inches or smaller? I was just clarifying.
It's Tori wants to know.
Smaller. Smaller.
But
I mean, would you really have whipped it out and just like said, "Let's go, baby"?
Hell no, because he was serious.
This is why they thought such penises.
Gay men aren't the only ones who like to freak people out.
So this must have happened. This is my question. This must have happened to either one of you. This, you know, you're so nice. You know, you're totally cool about all your gay friends' sexuality. You must have had at least one fall in love with you and have it be, like, painful. Because, like, you know, you accept them, you love them, you're really nice to them, you're supportive. Even though you tell them no, they still think in their minds, if they're just patient enough, they'll get you.
Oh, my first job out of college, I had some pretty major sexual harassment.
Really?
Sometimes I think that, too bad I didn't sue, but well, the court.
The guy didn't have any money.
This is America, yeah. You'll have plenty of chances to sue somebody.
No, but this guy and I started out, he was my boss, actually. We started out being good friends, and, you know, then he wanted to drink with me. And, you know, when your boss wants to drink with you, what can you say? But then he'd want to put his arm around me and hug me, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know. I don't mind hugging.
Next thing you play castle hockey. But then, you know, all right, maybe I'll get a promotion out of this.
After about 5 minutes, I started feeling a little bit funny about it, and I remember the first time I said to him,
he would have let go.
I said, how am I supposed to take this? And he freaked out, and to this day, I'm not sure if either he was in total denial or if he was just really slick, because he maintained this kind of thing where I was the one that had a problem because I didn't want to hold his hand and because I didn't want him to hug me for 5 minutes. And he really pushed it like I was the one that had a hang up. And I was fresh out of undergrad and very, very, very liberal thinking. I thought, well, yeah, why shouldn't guys be able to hug each other? And I was trying to challenge myself. But I couldn't really deny the fact that after having his arm around me for more than a typical American hug, you know, it's a cultural thing. I mean, if someone that I'm sexually interested in has their arm around me for a long period of time, I don't have a problem with that. But so but it just started feeling funny.
Were you just in his office and like he was hugging you, or were you like watching?
Well, we would do things socially a lot, and we had a lot in common. He was a neat guy, so he was really getting heavily into this friendship, but then he started. At first, I think a lot, I was just naive, and at first I just thought, well, he's just very intensely into this friendship. But then I'd be telling my female friends about it, and they'd say, my goodness, he sounds like a jealous girl. I'm like, shut up.
So when would he hold your hand? When did that opportunity come up? That's pretty
intimate. He'd be driving in the car, and he'd put his hand in my hand, and again, number one, this is my boss. Number two, I'm trying to be really open-minded. I'm like, well, what's the big deal about someone touching my hand? And so I felt uncomfortable with it, but I was trying to be just really trying to challenge myself with it. But eventually it just got to the point where the sexual harassment was in that if I was being tolerant, semi-tolerant of this kind of thing, I could do no wrong, and as soon as I started asserting myself and saying, hey, I don't really like this, then no matter what I did, it was wrong, kind of thing.
Wow, that's excellent. That's totally, that's, you're right, you should have, filed. I wonder if it's too late. Statute of limitations has run out, I guess.
Corey, I think the Supreme Court has ruled that sexual harassment has nothing to do with the gender of the people involved.
But as recent as two years ago, I recall hearing about a court case where it didn't seem like it was going anywhere because of that.
Yeah.
Now, nobody harassed me, but it ended up that friend of mine that I asked, you know, that I said, hey, come out, I already have these assumptions. It turned out that he had a pretty big crush on me. And then it was funny that the telltale signs were that he would tell me about his relationships with other men, but then when I wanted to talk about my relationship with a girl, he didn't want to hear it. And he would try to change the conversation, so on and so forth. So it was trying to make me jealous and seduce me in his weird way, and he couldn't stand the fact that idea of that I was with a woman, you know. Oh. And then the thing was that, you know, how do you, I guess, what was your original question? Your original question was like,
well,
how do you feel like, you know, that they're you know, you're breaking their heart or something along those lines. Hey, my response to that is, life is tough. Okay? Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Okay? He's bringing it on himself. So many times in my experience, I've had incredible crush on a girl, and I liked her a lot. I was incredibly attracted to her. But she didn't share the same feelings, and it was painful, but I would be friends with her or so on and so forth, you know. It's not her fault. Mm-hmm. She's just not attracted to me. And me, by having this crush on her, I was so responsible. You're responsible for your own actions, you know. So I didn't behave any different, you know. I mean, I was pretty clear that, you know, I'm not interested. But I was still friends with him. It's not like, oh, you have a crush on me, you know, I shun you, you know.
So do you think, so here's the key question, do you think it's different if you have a crush on some woman, so you can't help who you meet, right? You meet people at random, you make friends with them.
I think it's exactly the same.
You think it's exactly the same. So like there's no, you. So what is your strategy for revealing your feelings toward a woman any different from what a gay man's strategy should be in revealing his feelings to you? Do you think there are any, I mean, one obvious difference is, you know, the woman maybe used to be hit on.
Whether he's going to get dicked or not. I mean, I wouldn't punch him, but, you know. No, I'm kidding. But no, should this strategy be any different?
And especially with women, like, especially fabulous babes, I'm sure they get hit on all the time, and so they have some kind of, like, nice way of dealing with people who let their emotions get away with themselves, whereas, like, you know, fabulous male babes might actually
such
not.
Such as a mean.
Such as, such as yourself.
I sound flattered, but I'm not interested, you know. I mean, you're saying no, and no means no, right?
I certainly feel that the right strategy for the person receiving the undesired affection is the same. I mean, a polite no. But
there isn't always a question whose answer is no. It's often just like, you're not saying no, you're just like, that person keeps bringing you little gifts that they've made, or, you know, they keep wanting to do stuff with you, and they wanting to, like, set up these, like, romantic little things. And you just get this kind of creepy vibe that they're just, like, masturbating about you when you're not there.
Oh, right? I get that a lot from guys that I'm not interested in, you know?
I don't care what guys masturbate to.
I don't care about this. Oh, come on. You know, spank your monkey. Go for it.
Not some guys thinking about you in a compromising position in masturbating and you're not, it doesn't disturb you. What if they're thinking about you doing degrading sexual acts?
What, they have some kind of devil altar with my picture in the middle or something?
Well, yeah.
I don't know if I'd be into it if they told me about it. I've seen gay stuff in porn movies. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me, but it doesn't freak me out or anything.
I masturbated, to this day I masturbate, but thinking about, you know, over half my...
To this day? Sure. Even after all that?
No.
Are you masturbating right now?
I masturbated about many women, like, I had classes with, so on and so forth, and it didn't mean I went up to them and say, hey, baby. I knocked one off in the car as you were walking by, thinking about,
keep it to myself.
It's a fact of life, but it doesn't necessarily have to be shared.
There's
a point. It's like, do you really care? I tell you every time I have to go to the bathroom and pinch a loaf. No, what? You know, by that same token, there's some things you don't just go around announcing.
So in some ways, it should be the same. Well, if a guy hits on you or a girl hits on you and you're not interested, it should be the same. But another thing is, guys know that other guys are very horny. I mean, I've heard people argue that men and women have the same libido and men just
women
express
just
it differently.
It.
But
yeah.
But you, I mean, you no just know how guys that. Are. I mean, think about a guy thinks about his own sex drive and then you think, wow, if my sex drive was directed at other guys, how could I ever get anything done?
There's a definite line between harassment and expressing interest in a very discreet and respectful manner, no matter what sexes are involved.
I would like to say that, you know, on the other side of the coin, when my very best friend in high school, I was very much in love with, you know, and it was excruciating, especially because I was so close to him, and he loved me, but he didn't want to have any sex with me, and so, I told him about it, and that was that. I knew someone else in college who dumped his best friend, this guy he knew for many years, because he had a crush on him and couldn't handle it, and it's a shame.
But those are both cases where the person was sure. But another point in this kind of spectrum of pain are when your straight friend isn't quite so sure about his sexuality, and he's like, wow, you know, I have this really great friend, and we love each other, you know. If only he were a girl, he'd be my girlfriend. And they're like, well, maybe. And so like, I've had a couple like, well, maybe friends.
Really?
Who were kind of thought they might try it out, but didn't quite, you know.
Again, that falls on that scale, you know. I mean, one big thing is one big question is, well, if I'm curious about there's two sides to the argument. One side is, well, somebody is exploring their sexuality, so if they sleep with another man once or get into any gay sexual acts, you know, not necessarily, you know, just kissing or whatever, they're not gay. But my friend of mine had a good point. We're discussing this, actually. And then my friend said, you know what, that's just like saying, if I'm curious about stealing a car and I steal a car once, I'm not a car thief, you know? So there's...
Yeah. Well, I've had
sex with... There's a little bit of that in you then, you know?
Sure. I've had sex with several women.
You have never had sex with a woman.
I have had sex with a woman.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And even enjoyed it, but not as much as I enjoyed being
a woman. I've never had sex with a woman.
Really?
Never.
Wow. Never. That's kind of amazing, even to me.
I touched a woman's breast once.
Did it rebound and smack
her? She was dead at the time.
Yeah. On the other side of that idea of experimentation and exploration, I used to self-identify as bi and just... presumed that I hadn't found the right guy. And
Guy?
I knew that I liked women. I had presumed without an example that I could like men. And that I gradually realized that really my leanings were much more true to women, so I shifted my self-identification over towards the side of the spectrum. Of course, then I started getting involved with guys more, but still I now identify as mostly het. And
but if you're in a room with, by the same token, if you're in a room with 30 men,
all naked.
It's not good that much. There's going to be one or two that you're going to be attracted to.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, we're not just talking by physical features. We're talking, you know, conversing, so on and so forth, and, you know, mentally and physically.
But mostly physical features.
quite possible, and that's certainly fine. I've had good sexual times with men.
You have?
We've been through this before.
I guess I'm kind of blocking that image.
I received oral sex from a man.
I see, but that doesn't
and enjoyed it.
That doesn't make you gay, as covering your point earlier.
I actually agree with my friend that it does. It's just like saying, "Oh, I just stole a car once. I'm not a thief."
Yeah. I actually agree with it. Well, I mean, I don't. The problem is the whole notion of labeling. I mean, you are what you are. And so,
well, are you one or the other, or are you both, or what?
No, you can be. You can be. I like his interpretation. He is mostly attracted to women, but he is somewhat attracted to men also.
Actually, getting a little bit off the philosophy, I want to have to revise one of my earlier statements as far as a guy coming out to me. This is kind of an amusing story.
I'm going to suppress you just for 1 second. 621-9728. If you're not calling because of some sort of fear that we're going to out you, please put those fears aside. 621-9728. Or 268-9728 if the other phone doesn't seem to be working. Please proceed.
I took organ lessons.
Organ lessons. Oh my god.
Nine-inch
organ.
No, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't take piano lessons, but for some reason, I liked all the levers on an organ. My parents got an organ, and I took these organ lessons from this guy.
There's no straight organ teacher, by the way. There just isn't.
So I was about 12. Well, I didn't know that at the time. I was 11 years old. And so I had this organ teacher, you know, a guy, he's probably in his 30s, and late 30s, maybe early 40s, and I can remember one time we were just talking about whatever, and he said, "Yeah, women are great and everything, but sometimes you just need a man." And so I'm 11 years old, even though I had probably said fag at that point, it didn't really hit me at all. I was just like, oh, okay, he likes to sleep with men. I didn't think anything of it. And it didn't freak me out or anything. It was just like, oh, okay, so he likes guys, or, you know, whatever. So he didn't go into details or anything. But I think because of this confession, I think I confessed to him that I had found some porno magazines in the garbage can at the mall where I took my organ lessons. Kind of like the sharing thing. No one knew about these porno magazines I found and I had hidden in my shirt.
Oh, beautiful.
I did find that as I came out to my straight friends, I didn't come out till, you know, I was all the way through undergrad. I came out to my friends.
This is before he goes, "Look out, a gay man's boarding the bus." This is before that era.
Just before that, yes. I found it was hard to do, but it was a big secret, and it did actually make us closer as friends because, you know, they were sort of honored, you know, wow, you're sharing this really deep secret with me, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, that, gee, that took a lot of effort, which for me at the time, unbelievably, it really did. And
I can believe that, certainly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys a funny coming out stories. Apparently this one fraternity brother of ours was gay.
So you were in a fraternity, some kind of big college jock fraternity, right?
Yeah. And then
hubba hubba.
Then this one guy, he lived with these three other guys, and then they I mean, you know, he drank beer with everybody. He went.
You want to come up and see
everybody.
My stereo?
I want to come up and see my stereo. The whole deal, you know. Anyway, and then nobody really could tell. And then one time they were in a car. One of his ex roommates was telling the story. This is years later. We were drinking. He was telling the story. He goes, "Yeah, we were." I asked him. I said, "You know, how'd you guys come to find out that he's gay?" They're like, "Well, we were driving in a car, and you know, we lived with him, and then we were just making jokes. And then, you know, guys, you know, when you're together, you make jokes. Oh, shut up, you faggot, and this and that, you know." And then, so he turns around all of a sudden and goes, "Guys, I'm gay." And they're like, yeah, we knew that about you. They thought he's kidding. And then he goes, no, I'm serious. I'm gay. And then there's a moment of dead silence in the car. And then he goes, "Well, if it's any consolation, I was never attracted to any of you guys. So there was another pause.
Please continue to take showers in front of me."
And then there was another pause. And this one guy, he was a funny guy. He turns around and goes, "Well, frankly, I'm offended. You weren't attracted to any. What are you trying to say? Were we ugly?" So I thought that was a pretty funny reaction to that. And they continued to live with him. And he knew that this was a big step, so he didn't immediately start bringing dudes over and making out with them on the couch while everybody was watching football, you know. But, you know, I mean.
Did that eventually happen, though?
No.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, you want to see my stereo?
Yeah. It kicks butt, yeah. No. So he exercised discretion, and you know, everything went fine. They got along just fine. They lived together and so on and so forth.
My old gang back in Texas, sir, or multi...
Your gang?
My gang, my old gang, my crowd of friends back in Texas, who are all straight except for me. We're multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multi-everything.
That's so beautiful.
Isn't it lovely? and we show affection for each other through insults based on, you know, our various natures and backgrounds. And when I came out to them, for a couple of years, they didn't tease me about being gay. I mean, you know, we had the Jewish jokes, you know, and so on. And then finally, they, you know, they would throw gay jokes my way while I was throwing various slurs in their direction. And that's when I knew they'd finally relaxed and, you know.
Well, Jeff, you big hairy.
That is so beautiful.
Freak cake, we love you, baby.
Yes, I mean, you lumbering beast, you.
And then all those gay Jewish jokes.
Then they started.
Yeah, and I had a friend, hey, David, you fag. Oh, sorry, Jeff. That's cheap. But, you know.
So you're in a fraternity. I mean, it seems like most fraternity initiation rituals have some deeply homosexual component. So,
oh yeah,
the elephant. No, in all honesty, ours didn't.
Yeah, I know you're obligated never to, you know, never.
No, I'm not revealing anything, but I am. Well, I guess in a way I'm revealing something. No. Without going to specifics, no, ours didn't.
You didn't have to like blow the upperclassmen or like you know.
No sex with animals. Although I requested, but you know. Could I have a sheep? You know, chicken at least. Maybe a chicken at least, but no.
You don't get spanked with wooden paddles.
Nothing like that. No.
I always wondered if that elephant walk was just a story or if that actually happened.
I do not know what this elephant walk is that you speak of.
Well, for the benefit of our listeners, one of you should explain it, I think.
Silence.
I have no idea what it is.
Well, from what I heard, a bunch of guys crawl around on all fours naked, and they kind of like connect in this locomotive kind of fashion.
Oh, man. Hope they wash their butt.
So they're crawling around on the floor. Is there thumb or finger in the next person's butt? Or
oh,
they're like
just
face.
I don't know. I just heard this and it made me think, wow, I did a good thing by not joining a fraternity.
Because the way elephants walk, they like grab the tail of the elephant in front of them with their trunk, right? Isn't
that they're trained to do that?
Yeah. Oh, so there's some like kind of penis thing.
Oh, the trunk. Oh, I guess.
But men don't have a tail.
You're trying awfully hard, Corey.
Apparently, you heard a different version than I did.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of some other like fraternity hazing thing. No.
Stories that are.
I wonder how much of it is stories and.
I don't know. It's mostly. I don't know. In my case, without going into which fraternity it was or whatever, it was mostly psychological than anything. There was no hazing. I mean, people sometimes would get carried away, as they do. There's hazing in all aspects of life. For example, in the Army.
Even in
medical residents, you hear the right. First years and the second years, they get treated like, you know.
I saw a hazing episode in ER actually a few weeks ago.
Exactly. There you go. No, that happens in life. It all depends on how much you can take or how
Jeff
you react
makes the
to
students
it.
Use Unix.
No,
they have to prove their worth.
those come up, and it all depends on how you react to it. But, you know, the actual initiation business in our case was very psychologically grueling rather than anything else.
Like getting a PhD. And,
yeah.
Psychologically grueling. Wow.
On a related topic, I have heard stories of the summer camp activities with homosexual overtones.
Well, so, I mean, you know, I need some documentation. I never went to summer camp personally, and I think I missed out because, like, lots of my gay friends had their first, like, sad little gay experience at summer camp. Like, older counselor or
some tawdry getting off.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that brings up another memory.
Oh, my God!
I have all these repressed memories.
We talked about that night we kissed enough.
So I was in the Boy Scouts. At this point, I'm about 12, and I'm this little fat, ugly kid, and kind of a dork. So I'm in the Boy Scouts because I'm like, oh, cool, I can camp. And of course, now I hate camping. I don't know what I was thinking, but there is these older kids there that, yeah, they'd kind of mess with me, and you know, like older kids like to pick on the younger kids, especially if you're a little dumpy little dork. there is a couple occasions where I remember I was in the tent one night and these three guys came in the tent and they were all like laying on top of me saying all this sexual stuff, like, and at the time I thought, oh, they're just trying to get me to say something so they can rip on me for it, but I don't know, I kind of wonder about it to this day. I mean, at the time you're not really
naive,
but
you know, life is so unfair sometimes.
I can't say that I'm that's a view of anything like that happening in my career as a Boy Scout.
Did you make it all the way to Eagle?
I did, in fact, make it all the way to Eagle Scout.
Fantastic.
And I was a counselor at the Boy Scout summer camp for a summer.
I only lasted a year. No wonder. People jumping on me in my tent. What's up with that?
It is kind of strange. I mean, the strange part of that story, which makes it a little bit less plausible or likely that it's a homosexual kind of, so if there were three of them, right? I mean, if it were just some guy getting the horn.
Yeah. And probably it was just them, oh, let's freak out Jamie kind of thing.
Or, you know, somewhere in between, some fascinating, like, gray area.
There was a mixture.
But it was kind of bizarre, though. I mean, this wasn't just like they came in there, jumped on me, and then ran away laughing. I mean, it was kind of prolonged. It was definitely bizarre. Nudity or anything, but it was bizarre.
I remember this visiting my mom's friend's family, and they had an older son, about 2 years older than me, and we were wrestling, and he pinned me down, and then he wouldn't get off me, and then I was confused as to what he's doing.
He wouldn't get you off?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard.
No, he had me pinned down, and he wouldn't get off me, and then he was like rubbing against me, and I didn't know what's going on, but it made a big impression on me because it was confusing. What the hell is going on? I'm like, get off.
Or big impression. Literally.
But it wasn't until years later that I realized, oh, this dude was masturbating on top of me as he had me pinned down. But, you know, those things happen.
They don't happen. They happen to the wrong people.
They happen very rarely.
Wait, there's one other story now that I think. Oh, I was 13, and this guy was getting me from behind. And I was
tell Jamie, let's beat all this. Let's forget all this understanding business.
No, actually, I've run out of stories.
Did you ever? I'm sorry.
I do remember talking to someone this Christmas. His wife has a gay friend, and they're all excited to have us meet. We're the only two gay people they know. I'm kind of dreading this.
Nice little blind date.
Yeah, that actually is really annoying. I went to a cousin's wedding, and I got the same kind of treatment. Someone says, they were using this word bachelor. It was really upsetting. It was like, oh, you're a bachelor? It's like, you know, so-and-so is a bachelor, too. I think you two should meet.
And I'm like, friends.
It's like, he would like that. And
they
I'm
can
like,
be, you can see each other's bachelor pad.
That's right.
You can check out each other's stereo.
Have you ever noticed how there's a gay character on every sitcom these days, but it's always one guy who never gets a date, ever? It's like an outsider's view.
Well, have I noticed that? I don't know. What about like this Will and Grace show, right? I mean, that guy gets dates sometimes, doesn't he?
I haven't been watching that. I just discovered it last night, actually.
I suppress your thesis for that because I don't think it's true anymore. Because, I mean, I think he gets laid, and his little gay friend gets dates.
But they don't show any facials or anything.
No. facial cum shots or anything? No. I just saw a really good movie. Like, never mind. It was, The Opposite of Sex. Go see it. It's very funny. Mm. All right, proceed.
Is that a DJ homosexual?
Yeah.
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Who is she? She's not the girl on Married with Children, is she?
No, she was... I think her claim to fame is the Addams Family.
Oh, yes. Fabulous. That's who she is.
I remember the name of the woman in the lesbian scene with Catherine Deneuve in The Hunger. this is for the benefit of you straight guys and listeners. It's Susan Sarandon.
Oh, really?
She had a lesbian scene with Catherine Deneuve in The Hunger.
Fabulous.
Movie also
Sarandon's
starts
still hot.
I don't know.
She's an old hot
lesbian
lady.
Stuff doesn't do that much for me.
Really?
Like, I can think to get to see Susan Sarandon young and naked, man.
I mean, I can watch guys do it, and it doesn't freak me out. It doesn't do anything for me. About the same with lesbians. I don't know. It just doesn't.
So what situation were you in where you were watching gay porn? Like, how does that happen?
Just at parties, and someone's playing a porn movie that happens to have
a little bit of
both.
What parties?
Yeah, people play porn at parties.
The first time, it was at a high school party, believe it or not.
Wait, gay men or gay women?
Men.
Oh.
Straight men playing straight porn tapes that have a little bit of homosexuality.
Yeah, exactly. I've never been in a situation where someone had a tape that was all gay stuff, but tapes where it was crazy stuff, and it was kind of mixed in there.
Wow. And so like, what happens? Like, you're all watching. How do you watch a porn? Like, how do you, when you're with friends? Like, how do you watch a porn video without like all?
How demented you are.
Well, it wasn't like you like. It was like it was playing at the party and everyone's standing around. It wasn't like we were all glued to the couch.
And everyone's going, "Oh, look at that!"
Well, yeah, of course there was a lot of that just to make sure. Oh, we're
right,
all
so
straight.
Right, so you have to do that. I'm like, how can you watch a porn movie without masturbating? I'm like, what is the point? I'm like,
I was wondering that myself.
I mean, isn't the whole point of porn movies is to, like, jack off? Wow. I just can't imagine being at a party.
Let's get it on!
You pretend not to be interested, but, you know, you have memories.
Oh, my God. So, wow.
So, tell us about your coming out for the first time.
Mine?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. You know you're gay all your life?
No, I'm not one of these like
day one.
Most like, hello. Gay men that I've spoke to, they didn't actually come to terms with it until they were about 25. They're early to mid 20s. And in the meantime, in high school, so on and so forth, they dated girls and. You know, they never really thought about another guy. You mean, the ones you see on TV, they're like, oh, yeah, it was so embarrassing. I was in the high school locker room, and, you know, it was always so embarrassing because I was trying not to get an erection, this and that. But then, you know, most gay guys that I talk, they're like, no, actually, you know, it didn't happen until I was 25 and I met so-and-so and blah, blah, blah.
I thought I was straight. I liked Judy Garland.
Your DJ Homo story.
Well, you know, maybe we should devote a future show to this because we actually have about 1 minute left. Mm. But that's kind of like my deal. I'm kind of a twisted sexual past because I had my first little gay experience when I was 15, but I didn't have any other sex for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So it was like 10 years of total abstinence. It was really terrible. But
are we counting in the pedophile years? No.
No, certainly not counting the bestiality years. But
10 years of buildup, I can't imagine. I hate to be the guy to receive the end of that.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Yeah, he still has scars. So, we'll have to like just leave all our viewers in suspense because we have no time. I want to thank Amin and Jamie and Luke and Jeff for joining us tonight. It was fabulous, fabulous, fabulous time. Please do come back in the future. Callers, shame on you for not calling in, but you know,
finals is no excuse.
Sorry,
final exams is no excuse.
So, thanks for listening and good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.